Hey everyone, I know you've heard me speak about microdosing and how much I love it. And I'm talking about microdosing THC. I love it. And that's why I love our sponsor, microdose.com. Microdose gummies are incredible. They deliver perfect entry-level doses of THC that help you feel just the right amount of good. And when I mean just the right amount of good, I mean in so many situations. Anxiety, sleep, focus, pain, relaxation. There are so many different strains and they're really helpful. And I have recommended microdose.com to so many people. And you know what they say to me? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Don't be afraid of microdosing. Go to microdose.com and you'll learn all about microdosing THC. These gummies feel amazing. They taste amazing. I have used them to get me into the zone I need to write. I've used them at night after a stressful day or a stressful show to relax. I have also said to family members, please take a gummy right now. And they've said, oh, good idea. So check it out. Check it out because they're fantastic. And I'm not like a big weed person. I mean, I used to be. And I do enjoy weed every now and then. But I love these gummies. And I take them with me everywhere. So check it out. Don't be afraid. They're all natural. They're fantastic. And you deserve it. So what are you going to do? You're going to do something that is fantastic. You're going to get 30% off your first order. 30% off. That's a lot. Plus free shipping today at microdose.com. Use promo code JUDYGOLD, JUDYGOLD. It's available nationwide. They deliver it to your door. That is microdose.com. Promo code JUDYGOLD for 30% off and free shipping. Do it. Go to microdose.com. Promo code JUDYGOLD. You deserve it. You deserve it. And you know what else? You're welcome.
Well, I don't see the point in waiting any longer. So let's bring her out. The star attraction. The one you came to see. Ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, Ms. Judy Gold.
All right, so then you apply to college. Now, yeah. I don't know what college would not take you. Did you apply to the Ivies?
I didn't. I wish I did, but I don't truthfully think I could have gotten in. But why? I wish I had just to
Are
try.
Are you fucking kidding me?
I don't know if my test score was high enough. I'm a smart dude, but I don't know that I could have gotten into one of the Ivies. I mean, that's crazy hard.
Did you have to take the SATs and everything?
I took the ACT, yeah.
Yeah, I hate those fucking... Let me tell you
They're
something.
They're hard.
I did very well in high, you know, like academically. I cannot take a test to save my life. Like, I cannot. Yeah. Like, you give me a multiple choice test and I will sit there for 4 hours. This has a little bit of truth in it. That's all, you know, it's like, I'm sorry. I don't think like that. I don't think
really,
like that.
You're a great writer. Your stand-up and all of your... I mean, you were so quick... I can't write. Nice. I'm great with multiple choice tests, but your jokes and the punchlines, that doesn't come naturally to me.
Right.
But for you, so I feel like maybe it's one or the other, or if you get both, maybe then you go to the Ivies.
Right.
I don't know. Like, I don't know if that's a magic formula.
Well, you went to USC. Did you? And you're studying psychology, which.
Yes.
And I love the reason, you know, my son is also studying psychology.
Oh, really? Where
at? Well, he was just at Tulane and he's trying.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. So he loves psychology, probably because he has like 17 mothers. No, he has two moms plus, you know, he has four mothers and three are Jewish. Okay. So I would study psychology too, but you know, he loves that whole, you know, the way humans behave and figuring, you know, stuff out. And you do it because you want to get deeper into your characters or to facilitate your acting.
Yeah, it is. I also have, like I said before, I've always just been really, really into education. I mean, my mom was a teacher and I don't know if that had a huge influence on it, but I've always been a learner. I love being in class. I never wanted to miss class. And wow. For psychology, I was always just fascinated by how people thought. I wanted to know why they did the things that they did. I had heard when I was a kid, like the nature versus nurture question, which I think is what kind of guides a lot of people into psychology, where it's like, okay, is it nature? Is it nurture? And to give you the simple answer, in my opinion, it's both.
Both.
It just kind of depends. That's always a lot of the answer for psychology. And that's what I found at USC. But in terms of getting to know a character, your job as an actor is to build this world. I mean, I'm sure you would agree with me that you have to be honest in your belief of what you're doing, in the way that you're behaving.
Right.
And those thoughts are what drive that behavior. So you have to have these truthful thoughts. And the way that you do that is by understanding why they occur.
Right.
And the relationships that they have, which help garner those thoughts, and the complex situations that allow you to really dive into this world and create an entire new one, which then when you put it all together and you deliver it to an audience, hopefully resonates with them and they with your characters. So that's really the idea behind it.
When I audition a lot, if it's a decent part, like I'll write a whole history about the person, you know, what they do, what their parents did, where they grew up, you know, because you really, you know, you're saying these lines, but what's motivating this person to speak the way they speak and use the words they, you know, and present themselves the way they do. It really is fascinating.
Can I ask you, when you write those breakdowns, I'm just curious, do you ever write in that character's voice? Because they all have, they all change, right?
Right.
Do you ever write as that character?
That's a good question. I just write like, I work at blank. I do, you know, this, my husband left me. He's a fucking asshole, you know, like that kind of. Yeah. To try to just, and I also think of characters in my life that have characteristics of this person. You know, it's funny when you talk about nature versus nurture, because, you know, I have two sons. One, my ex gave birth to and I adopted, and one I had and she adopted. And I live nature versus nurture. And people will all, you know, I've often been asked, oh, you know, you like the one you had better, the bio. And I'm like, no, I don't. Like, I don't. But there are things I recognize in Ben that I go, oh, that's from me. But then in Henry, he has a lot of shit from me too, but it's different. Right. You know, like, it is such a combination of both things.
It's so interesting too. And the biggest, like, theory that explains a little bit of that, and I obviously also don't have a doctorate yet, so
what?
Yeah,
you will probably in about 20 minutes when we get on.
But it's like this social learning theory, and it's basically the idea that like we learn from our surroundings,
right?
And I think that explains a lot about at least my behavior, about probably your son's, where it's like, oh, you see these mannerisms because you raised him and he understands the way that you behave and has observed that and then like inputs it into his own life, and one of his, you know, a defining characteristic. And I think that's super, super cool. And then that's something that I think a lot about with characters too, where it's like, who is by, you know, like if you have an absent parent, which was for me, my character, Ben Gross. And I know that we're going to get to this later, so I don't want to get too far ahead, but Ben was raised by a very successful father. He's an entertainment lawyer. Right. And he's got all these famous clients, but he's not home a lot.
Right.
And then his mom travels and does other things and all that. And she's played by Angela Kinsey, who's one of my favorite actresses. She's unbelievable and super funny. And for me, it's like, okay, if he has these two very absent parents, how is he going to be behaving?
Right.
Because he doesn't have that type of attention or that type of love. And then you get to my character had his own episode, and it was a lot of it was about capturing this loneliness that he felt. And understanding a lot about his upbringing and understanding why he felt that way. And then because he felt that way, how was he projecting out at other people, where he was insulting them, or he was trying to garner attention through loud, brash projections in certain situations. And that's what helped me really understand that, is by understanding his background and then helping me get into that headspace.
It is fascinating because, you know, being a, you know, well, you're a guy, but, you know, I think a lot of men
Welcome to New York. I think a lot of men, and you know, especially stand-ups who travel a lot and they have wives who take care of their kids, and they get this other life, you know. And when a woman comedian has a child, it's really hard because, you know, you can't really, I mean, you can have it all, but you can't really have it all. Like, I would take the kids when they were little, but then, you know, I had these kids and I have a limited amount of time with them, and I would never get, it definitely had an effect on my career, you know, having children and coming out as a gay parent also, but I would never give that, I mean, like, I would never give up the time that I spent with them. I wish I had more, you know?
Yeah.
But it's so funny because, all right, there was this show. You don't know the show because you're 12, but called Room 222. And it went, I love the theme song too. But it was on when I was, it was on the late 60s, and it was about a high school, and it was an integrated high school. It had the, you know, there was a black teacher, couple of black teachers. It was great. It was about this one, pretty much, you know, this one black teacher. Anyway, there was an episode I was watching a few years ago where there was this kid who was kind of fat and was really obnoxious. And it, you know, and the whole episode, it turns out, you know, he's just trying to be funny so that people can like him. And it's always like, you know, you can be who you are and we'll still like you. And he wasn't even fat. He wasn't even fat. It was fat for 1970, like fat in 2021 and fat in 1975 or 1970 or 1968. It's like, I was like, he's not even fat. Why are they saying he's overweight? Anyway, and the kid was played by Bob Balaban. Do you know Bob Balaban, the actor?
Oh,
my God, you got to look him up. You'll know him. Anyway, okay. But it is so interesting because the people who, like, I know this with my kids. You see the kids who act out and are assholes are they're missing something.
Yeah,
you know?
There's always something negative attention. Underneath.
Yeah.
Yeah, and absolutely. And that's the really cool thing too about that episode in particular that I loved is the writing allowed for us to see that, because
right.
You don't notice and you don't know in real life what's going on behind these, you know, in these kids' lives. And I think behind the scenes, you know, we talked a lot about it, the writers and I, and Mindy Kaling, who's our creator, and Lang Fisher, who's co-creator and showrunner as well. Like, we talked a lot about that episode and understanding that, like, yeah, there's a lot of complex emotions behind why this kid acts the way he does.
Right.
And a lot of it does come from things that he does feel that he's missing in his life.
Right.
He's that he's trying so desperately to find elsewhere. So
right.
It's about really humanizing someone who, on the outside, in the first episode, you know, he calls Davey, who's our main character, he calls her an unfuckable nerd, which
I
is
know.
Like a really
horrible mean.
Thing to say.
Yeah.
So shitty. And you're like, man, like, I am not going to like this dude. And then hopefully by the end of the series, when we get to know his life and we get to understand the reasons behind why he acts that way and that his homework.
It humanizes him. Yeah.
Absolutely. And I was hoping, you know, for audiences that they would really feel for him. And that
right.
would get a lot of people to be like, oh, man, Ben,
yeah.
dude, like, I feel you, man. Like, this is hard. Like, your home life is not as great as it seems. You might be wealthy, but you don't have a wealth of attention,
right.
a wealth of love, which is an entirely different but also needed, you know, sphere.
You need
of,
it, right. It's
yeah,
like,
of
yeah.
parenting.
Hey, everybody. If you know me, you know I love my liquid IV, and I love giving it to people and telling people about it. And it's part of my everyday life. I keep hydrated with liquid IV. I put it in my water bottle. Well, I have this one water bottle that I use only for liquid IV. And I put lots of ice in it and cold water because I like it very cold. And it keeps me hydrated and it's delicious. So thank you, liquid IV. And I have to tell you, I've now given it to my son's girlfriend because, you know, they go out partying. You know what I'm talking about. And it has helped her immensely with her dehydration. That it's great for those nights where you know you're going to be having a few drinks. It's delicious. It comes in pear, white peach, grape, lemon lime. Also, there's a lemon ginger one that is great that has a little caffeine. I just love Liquid IV. And you need to keep hydrated. It's very important. It affects you on so many levels. So do yourself a favor. Keep hydrated in the best way possible. Some people hydrate to live. Some people live to hydrate. I think I live to hydrate. Liquid IV quenches your thirst faster than water alone. It has 3 times the electrolytes of leading sports drinks, 8 vitamins and nutrients for everyday wellness. And this is true. They have a sugar-free stick. They have Liquid IV sugar-free that Elisa, my lover, loves. I don't use the sugar-free. Whatever. But it's also been great for my traveling because I get very dehydrated on my airplane flights. So please, you've heard me say this multiple times. Go get your Liquid IV. You have to keep hydrated. It's very important. So however you hydrate, grab your Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier sugar-free in bulk nationwide at Costco or get 20% off your first order when you go to liquidiv.com and use code JUDYGOLD at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code JUDYGOLD, J-U-D-Y-G-O-L-D, at liquidiv.com. You're welcome.
When you went on the audition, so you thought Darren Bennett, I think his name, or something
Barnett,
like that.
Barnett.
Yeah. Whatever. I tried. I can't read my writing. So you thought, you got to the audition and you thought you, oh my God, he's auditioning for the same part as me, but he's like chiseled and then and you had like a hoodie on, right? Or something.
Yeah, I came in with like, I had a basketball jersey over a hoodie with like the most like hype shoes I could find, which coincidentally are like these beautiful Game of Thrones White Walker shoes. Right. They're like limited edition. They're my most favorite pair of shoes. And they're like these white and blue. They're really cool. So I looked like this very rich wannabe basketball player. And I saw him there and he's just this super chill, like a black tight shirt with a jawline that's cut in diamonds. Yeah. And I was like, how the hell is this going to work? And I try not to, you know, talk too much about competition and I keep to myself a little bit, but him, I was like, hey man, how's it going? Didn't talk to me at all. And I was just like, okay, never mind.
Go fuck yourself.
Did my audition and I left. And then when we saw each other at the table read, we both were like, oh shit.
Right.
Not the same thing. That makes sense now.
So you auditioned in LA, right? And as a student, were you a student when you auditioned at USC?
Coincidentally, I had committed to go to USC. When I was at my freshman orientation, I got a call that I was going to screen test, which means there's about 4 or 5 people, give or take, left. And then you usually end up reading in person with the creators and the director and all that kind of stuff, executive producers. And they were like, you can tape if you want, because I was from Dallas and they knew that. And my initial audition was a tape where I just recorded the sides and sent them over. And they were like, you can do it. But I was like, screw that. Like, I'm flying out. If Mindy's there, I'm going to die. I want to meet Mindy. Like, I'm going to go. I'm going to give it my best shot. So I went and auditioned in person. And that's where I met Mindy and Lang and the executive producers.
Okay. So let's explain to everyone. I've also tested. When you go on an audition, you get a call back. Then you get like, okay, we're pinning you. So you're you're one of 3-4 people.
Yeah.
2 people who are up for this. And it's like, you can't work anywhere else. We got you for this. And then you have to go and you audition multiple times. And then the screen test, which is really not a screen, is like you go in a room and it's all the big wigs. It's like the network, the producers, the showrunner, like it's the creator, you know, and you have to just walk in and be like, hey, okay. and audition. And then you're like, okay, bye. And then you wait.
An agonizing amount of time. Agonizing.
You wait for a fucking phone call.
Yeah.
And
for your dreams to come true.
Yeah. And if you do, I feel like taping is shit compared to being in person. Like you don't get the essence of the person. Yeah.
Yeah. I love, because I also can go in there and like crack jokes and you can get to know me a little bit, and hopefully I can be charming enough to like warrant a call back, even if I'm not as talented for the role, you know? Like,
yeah, but least, that like, doesn't work for me. That's, I go in and I'm like, oh, she's obnoxious.
No way. I don't believe it.
Oh, please. So you walk in and Mindy's there. I love Mindy. I love her. I fucking love her.
I do too. I do too. She's like one of the most unbelievable human beings I know. And also so kind.
And so talented. Yeah.
Yeah. It's unreal how amazing she is at literally everything. It's kind of unfair. But
Shut up. Look at you, you ass. Go ahead.
I was a huge Mindy fan because I loved The Office. I was a huge fan of The Office. I think their comedy is probably like the smartest I've ever seen. Like, it's perfect in my eyes. Right. So I didn't know if she was going to be there or not, because she's obviously so busy and does a million things. And I was like, okay, like I had prepared myself for her not to be there. So I walked into the room and she was just sitting right there, like smiling, and was like, hello. And I was just like,
did you freak?
Oh yeah. I freaked out. I was like, oh, hello. So then I got a little nervous and I just like spouted some dumb joke about like being from Texas and how I like had ridden my horse there instead of driving my car. Cause they were like, oh, did you find parking? And I was like, oh yeah, my horse is parked outside. I'm from Texas. Ha ha. I'm like, luckily they laughed. I don't even remember it. I don't know if it was a real laugh or not. But that kind of
I'm gonna go with not a real laugh. Okay.
Probably not. I should ask Mindy and be like, do you remember if that joke was funny or not? But then we did the scene and it was crazy because the scenes that I had done previously were not what I tested with. They gave me new sides, and one of them was meeting Andy Samberg in a Jamba Juice, which didn't end up being written, and we didn't end up doing that for the season one, or you know. Spoilers, no season two. Sorry to disappoint for that interaction. But then the second scene was my character's crying scene in episode 6, where he's so lonely and all of this boils over that he ends up crying in Nalini Vishwakumar, who is Devi Vishwakumar, her mom, who's a dermatologist, in that chair because he has this huge zit and he winds up like talking about his loneliness and really letting his feelings go. And that was my screen test scene after this comedic scene with Andy Samberg. And that was my test. And I remember coming out of that and I don't have the easiest time crying, to be honest.
Right. Same.
Like football, like growing up, it was just like, suck it up. You're fine. And I'm not a great crier, but I don't know. I was just like, so into it for that audition. I had like a single cinematic tear just like roll down during that audition. Oh, and I came out of it being like, you know what? I did my best. And I called my parents.
Which is all your parents said. They said,
that's all they said. Yeah. And then it, you know, luckily it turned out really well for me and it must've resonated with network and Netflix and Universal and Mindy and Lang and all that.
How long after?
I think it was, this is also funny. I was actually at Nationals for theater. We had just performed Shakespeare in Love, which was also one of the most unbelievable performances I've ever had. 3,000 people in a packed auditorium in Lincoln, Nebraska, which is weird.
A national theater thing that you get invited to, that your school gets invited to. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. So I had just finished performing there and was on such a high and was sitting in this hotel room with all of my friends, Miss Biddle, the director, and she had known because I had screen tested during the re-rehearsals for Nationals. So I had left the rehearsals for Shakespeare in Love to go screen test after we had performed. 2 days later, maybe, I'm sitting with my friends at this convention and I get the call that I got it. And I just kept saying, I don't believe you. I had told my team, I was like, I don't believe you. You're kidding. Right. You're joking. And then 2 weeks after that, I moved to LA and started shooting.
And you started school when you, like, how soon? Because you're a full-time student.
Yes.
The fuck? You're a full-time student.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm graduating a year early, actually. So I graduated high school in 2019 and I will graduate college next spring, which is 22.
Okay.
So I'm a year ahead.
Did you double your course load or?
I take a normal full-time course load. I take 16 units at USC. And then I also added a minor because I would have graduated even earlier if I did not have that minor. So my minor is in forensics and criminality because criminal deviancy. That's one of my dream roles is to play like a psychopath or a sociopath or something like that. Something really dark and meaty. Yeah. and have so many different types of complexities, and to be able to portray that. Like, one of my favorite performances is Heath Ledger's Joker, and then Anthony Hopkins in Silence of the Lambs. Like, those are really what I love and I want to do one day. So that's why the minor. But I started school about a month and a half, and I had told Mindy, and like, Mindy went to Dartmouth.
Right.
So obviously, like, everybody was like, oh, you're going to do school at the same time? That's going to be really hard.
Right.
I got it. I would totally do it. And everyone was like, I don't know if you should do that. Like, this is going to be a lot of time. Like, I don't know. And I was like, no, I'm going to do it. And it wound up working out for me. I did really well, and I'm still doing really well. I did it for the second season as well. I filmed even during COVID. I was shooting. I would do my Zoom classes and make that up and all that. And
is it, can you still do Zoom classes? And
yeah, well, we were
online.
What's
going to happen? Yeah.
I think it'll be in person, but my freshman year, actually, it was in person. So I was just missing class. I work it out with the professors, and I manage my time circling back to that. And I make sure I get everything done really ahead. Similar to how Barney, I had my lines done 2 weeks early. I have my essays written 2 weeks early. I reschedule exams if I have to miss them. And a lot of my professors are really accommodating. USC is really great about that in most of the realms. And it's by a professor basis. So I try really hard to get professors that are willing to work with me and support me in my dreams. But I tell them I'm really serious about my academics. Like, check out my...
Well, I'm sure they know.
Previous teachers. Yeah. Yeah, and because I want to make sure that they know that I'm not just like...
Has anyone been an asshole?
I had one teacher who was really difficult, which sucked.
What class? Like,
I don't want to say, in case she still teaches there. But it was, I will tell you, it was a teacher that was... It was once a week.
Right.
So I get it, where she was like, look, if you miss 4 classes, I'm going to give you an F. And I was like, oh, fuck.
Right.
So I'll tell you, I don't want to say this class just in case she can hear me and change my grade. But I wound up like having friends sign me in for attendance and then like figuring it out with production as well, to where I didn't miss 4 classes. And I wound up getting an A in that class. So,
oh my God.
Yeah, I figured it out, but that was rough.
I don't know why a teacher, I was talking to Henry about this, because, you know, he left school and he had a few credits left, and he got, you know, an internship, and like, he had to get it approved. And there was this one teacher who was just like, no. And it's like, why would you stop someone from getting a college degree? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, why would you want to make it harder?
I know. But to be honest with you, literally, I would say 90 to 95% have been so helpful.
Right.
In different areas. Like, the psychology teachers who, like, probably don't know a ton or have tons of actors.
Right.
Most of them are probably in the cinematic arts school, which is, like, the best in the country. But they're so nice. They're always like, yeah, we'll figure it out. Like, no worries. Literally, I've had no problems in the psychology department. Like, everyone's so kind and willing to help me like achieve my dreams.
Look at you. You're like Mr. Helps. Perfect.
No, not at all. I'm so far from it. I'm just trying really hard. I'm trying.
Hey, everyone. I love our sponsor, Fast Growing Trees. I don't know if you've noticed when we show the clips of the podcast that I have a new best friend in my office named Avi. And where did I get Avi? At Fast Growing Trees. Fast Growing Trees is the biggest online nursery in the United States, with more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the United States of America. And I am a happy customer. I love walking in this room and seeing my fig tree, Avi. I talk to Avi. I love it. It makes me happy. And you need plant life in your house. And I have another plant on my piano in the other room. I'm just telling you, it makes your home so much more of a home. So thank you to Fast Growing Trees. They have everything you could possibly want. They have fruit trees. They have palm trees. They have evergreens. They have houseplants and so much more. And I'm in an apartment in New York. Okay? I don't even have a yard outside. And it's changed my life. Do it. Go to Fast Growing Trees. And whatever you're interested in, they have it. They have the perfect fit for your climate, for your space. You can call them and ask them how to take care of your plants. They have so much information and it's so easy to order online. Your plants are shipped directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. They have a 30-day alive and thrive guarantee. They have free plant consultation forever, forever. And I have a new best friend, Avi. I love you, Avi. So do it. You don't need a yard. You don't need a lot of space. You just need to make your home a beautiful place. And that's where Fast Growing Trees comes in. This spring, Fast Growing Trees has the best deals online, up to half off on select plants and other deals. And listeners to our show get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using the code JUDYGOLD at checkout. JUDYGOLD at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using the code JUDYGOLD at checkout. Fastgrowingtrees.com, code JUDYGOLD. Offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply. Do it. You're welcome.
What do you want? What are your goals? Like, what do you want to do? I mean, I know you've always wanted to be an actor.
Yeah.
But you're going to get your degree.
Yeah.
You're such a little baby. You have your whole life ahead of you. What do you want to accomplish?
Well, I think a bunch of things. But firstly, acting absolutely always first and foremost in my brain. Right now, I am overjoyed and like feeling like every second of my life is unbelievably not real because of the success of Never Have I Ever. Like we've got, I think it's like 48 million viewers globally. And I play a Jewish character.
Right.
Like
I know, it's amazing.
I play a character that has so many different levels. I'm in a world created by such talented people, Mindy and Lang and the rest of the writers that like have created this unbelievable universe that has so much representation and diversity.
A lot of diversity, yeah.
It's something that's crazy amazing about our show. And I think why it's been so popular and resonated so well with critics and with fans and anybody who's seen the show, because there's something for everybody. So I think in the future, trying to find projects that continue to do that.
Right.
I love playing really complex characters. I love being in shows that champion diversity or ideas that are previously thought to be taboo or not talked about, mm-hmm. or that means something to people. I think being an actor and a psychology major too, like if I wasn't an actor, I think I would want to be some type of forensic psychologist or a psychologist in general. I don't know. Cause I like
what makes people tick. Yeah.
I want to also help people too. If someone watches our show and is like, and I've gotten messages before from fans that's like, hey, I really related to this part of your show and it really helped me out in this point in my life. That's what I want to continue to be able to do.
Yeah, that's
I want to do projects where people see this and are like, this made me, whether it's like, hey, if it's a crazy, awesome action movie and I help them forget about their life or their stress for an hour and 45 minutes, then I have accomplished my job and what I've wanted to do. And I think writing is really difficult. And maybe if I could learn a little bit more about that, I would love to do that. But I think probably the most likely other alternative is directing. Because I was a coach in high school, I love working with actors. And on set, actually, I get to collaborate a lot, which is really cool about our show, is Mindy and Lang and all of the directors, and they change frequently. They allow me to ask so many questions.
Yeah,
I'm sure I
annoy
the shit out of them. But like I get to really dive into that and learn more. And I think that the more I learn, the more confident I'll be in seeing what comes out for the future.
I can't take it with you. You have like... All right. I think you should need to do a Broadway play at some point in your career.
God, if I could sing, I so would.
I know, but they do straight play.
I could do.
You could do a play.
I would do a play. I would like to do a play. That would be fun.
Oh, it's the best.
Especially to be in New York, too.
I know. And it's like, it's so fun. All right. I asked my podcast guests two questions.
Okay.
I'm very pro mental health. Because I have anxiety, depression.
Absolutely.
Jews, you know, inbreeding, you know how we are. What do you do for your mental health?
Mental health also is super big for me. I also do struggle a little bit with anxiety and some of that stress. And I think for me, it's fitness.
Yeah.
I love lifting. Lifting and being in the gym is huge for me. During COVID, like a lot of people, had to find a way to change my workout routine and figure that out, because I also was a power lifter in high school. So it was always something that was really big for me.
Right.
And it became a huge part of my stress relief. And, you know, during COVID and while we were shooting, I wound up buying like adjustable dumbbells and a bench.
Same.
And I worked with people to find a workout routine, right? Because it's so important. After like working a 14-hour day, I would go home and I'd lift because that's how I relax.
You have to relieve your stress. Yeah,
exactly. I go and I work out. If I'm ever stressed, I go on a run or I lift if I can. I'd much rather lift than run. Cardio sucks. I hate it. But you know, it helps me feel better. And then also I think talking to my friends, I think I'm really lucky to have a really strong support network. And I think too, it's really hard sometimes to reach out. And
right.
I know that I struggled with that when I was in quarantine, but I think that like, if I had any advice, I would just say like to anybody listening that also struggles with that, the biggest thing that I think helped me is knowing that I'm not alone, that
right.
other people that you may not even realize might struggle with this as well.
Oh, and please.
Whole conversation
yeah.
that talking to people, talking to friends, knowing that you're not alone and reaching out to somebody can help them. It can help you. It doesn't have to be talking about anxiety or depression if you're not
right.
helpful with that. And then also being a psychology major, therapy
right.
is awesome and super helpful.
The best.
And I also
the best.
Like it's so great. And I know that it's becoming more mainstream, which is so great.
I know when I started going
hesitant.
Yeah. I went awesome. Started going at 18.
Yeah.
And I was 1980, 81. I went mm-hmm. and telling my friends, like, I go to a therapist. Like, it was like the biggest
yeah.
thing.
Yeah. There's a stigma for sure.
Right. And we got to stop. And like, I have just horrible days.
I hear you.
I'll go on Twitter and I'll say, you know, I'm having a bad day, or I woke up this morning, and people are like, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Because you're not alone. You're not alone. Even the people you think don't suffer, and it sucks, but it's temporary. It's not going to stay that way. But
absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I'm ready to quit show business anyway, but, okay. So that's mental health. All right. So I call the podcast Kill Me Now because I get pissed off at everything. Like I am every day. I'm like, oh my God, kill me now. Because like really everyone annoys me and I can't stand anything. And so what pisses you off more than anything in the, like what makes you so fucking angry?
I try to keep an a cool, calm and collected persona. But to be honest, the thing that pisses me off the most is probably something if it's me rather than other people. If I'm late anywhere, I am in such a bad mood.
Really?
Like oh my God. If I'm a minute late, I'm going to lose my shit. Like I have to be early everywhere I go. Like I'm at least 10 minutes early.
Oh my God. You're so the opposite of me.
It frustrates me. But my mom's like that. So I would blame my mother because she would rather be an hour early. She would take me to auditions when I was a kid and we would sit on the 405. For 2 hours, whatever, and still get there an hour early. No way we were going to be late. And now it's still ingrained in me and I can't get out of it. So
yeah, I used to be late all the time. And then my therapist was like, why are you always like, and it was because I was addicted to the, oh my God, the fight or flight, you know, oh my God, I gotta get there. Like I was addicted to that. And I also I always think I have way more time than I do. Like I'll have, I don't ever want to sit around doing nothing. So I'll be like,
I'll get there
in 15 minutes. And then then it's like 19 minutes. Oh, I have 4 minutes. I'll go, you know, bake bread. You know, like it's so stupid. Like I'll do an activity that takes way more, you know, it's really bad, but that's a big thing too. The late
thing. I think I'm the opposite. I always feel like I have less time where I'm like, I've got to get this done right now. And then,
which is why you have good time management.
But then there's a couple of days where I have nothing to do because
I've
done
things. And you want to kill yourself. Don't you want to kill yourself?
I just get frustrated. And then I go watch Netflix and do something instead where I'm like, all right, well now I guess I'll sleep. I like to take naps, you know, I'll do that.
That's so funny. Yeah. I think it's hard to be bored for kids now. Like we were used to being bored. Cause we didn't have all this shit. So we'd be like, we got to find something to do. We got to find something to do. And being bored though, here's the thing. I think being bored sort of, it makes you more creative and it makes you, you know, people don't know what to do with their free time. And it's like, people invent things. People are like, oh, I have nothing to do. Let me do this. Let me try
that.
You know, I don't
know. Something. Yeah. I like to, if I am bored, I will find something to get involved in. Okay, I can't sit around. I get so jumpy. I can't either.
I have
to find something to do, whether it's learning a new skill, whether it's going to.
And you love baking.
Whatever. And I'm a huge baker. Yeah. If I'm bored, I'll bake something. Absolutely. Like, I can't just sit and do nothing for like.
I'm the same
way. If it passes 3 hours, I've got to get up and go figure something out.
I get depressed. Jack, can I meet you when I come to LA? You are the cutest fucking thing I've ever seen.
We'll go to a Jewish deli.
All right, let's do it. Let's do it.
Yes.
I love it. And I want to meet your parents because they're fucking Laura and Jason and Michaela. And I can't with the fucking perfect family. All right. And say hi to your grandparents.
I will do that. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh my God, thank you. You're the best. You're the best. You're so adorable. I wish I had a daughter. I wish I had a straight cisgender daughter.
Thank you so much for listening to part 2 of Kill Me Now with Jaron Lewison, Mr. Perfect. Kill Me Now is produced by Laura Vogel, edited by Colin Schmeling. This podcast would not be possible without the help and dedication of Brittany Jo Sowards. If you are a listener of the show, which apparently you are because you're listening to the end, where I'm sure everyone cuts out in the middle, but I am fascinating. Please subscribe if you haven't already. Please leave a review if you haven't already. Tell your friends, tell everyone to listen to my podcast. Everyone's going to be in the car. It's a really good podcast. You know, I deserve 5 stars from every person who has ever listened. Okay. Now, if you haven't purchased my book, yes, I can say that when they come for the comedians, we're all in trouble. I mean, seriously, you're mental because you're listening to my podcast, but you can also get the audiobook, which you can listen to in the car, which is fantastic. Okay. So there you go. Check it out. Check out my website, judygold.com. I just wrote a piece for, short piece for CNN about what it was like to return to a comedy club after the pandemic. I'm in the movie Hysterical that you can get on Hulu, which is about female stand-up comedians, which I'm one of them. Hey, no. You know, you can see where I'm performing. I am in, if you're on the Cape or near the Cape or want to come to the Cape, I am performing all summer at the Art House, Friday night and Saturday nights in July, and Tuesday night and Wednesday night in August. So come see me there. Follow me on Twitter. Follow me on Instagram at Judy Gold, JewDyGold. You know, like Jew, because I'm a Jew. Listen, have a great 4th of July. Have a safe travels to everyone. Please get vaccinated. I don't fucking feel like wearing a mask because some asshole is a conspiracy theorist. So get a fucking vaccine. Okay? Very important. And that's all I have to say. Thank you so much for listening. And as we always say, so long.
And everything was wonderful. I'll see you soon. Thank you for the visit. So long.